listening to season 2 of Wake Up or Break Up with your host, LCB. Are you ready to get started? Let's go. What's up, you guys, and welcome to another episode of Wake Up or Break Up. We are in season 2, and I am lucky to have a special guest with me today. Her name is Ashley. She is an amazing stay-at-home mom. You guys, you're not ready for this. She has 6 beautiful children, and she looks like she's never had a child in her life. It's not just motherhood that she does. She is actually creating a team of moms for a podcast that she is going to be starting next year. And her goal, I guess her purpose, is to take the filter off of motherhood and to share real life experiences of moms on Instagram through the podcast, you know, just sharing everyday life. And she's starting it off with this podcast. She's going to share with you guys the real story behind how she got to where she is, what she's been through, and her experience with infidelity. So welcome to the show, Ashley.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. Yes.
Yeah.
I love that intro.
You know, you gave me so much good stuff to work with. So it was so easy. I know people are curious, like, wow, you know, she has all these beautiful children, you know, she's building up this business. How could infidelity be a part of her life? So give us a little bit of history about this relationship, how it got started, you know, just the basics so that everyone can get caught up.
Yes, perfect. So the first thing, I had to learn to trust God's timing. And he knows what is meant for me, and he knows what is meant. So I say that first, because where the infidelity started was with a person that I knew pretty much my whole life. So I met him when I was 12 years old. He was like 16, but I just had the biggest crush on him. And I instantly, anytime he would walk onto the street, it was like my eyes would go to this person. I knew, like, he didn't even have to say anything. It was like I felt him coming. And we kind of started to get a little close then. And then he just left. Like, he just disappeared. And people were like, oh, he moved. And I'm like, moved where? He was my first kiss. And literally, I think like 2 days after that, he just disappeared. I'm like, where'd he go? What happened? We were supposed to be this couple and this thing. And I didn't see him again until I turned 16 years old. And ironically, he lived right across the street, like, yeah, from my window in that house, I could look into his house. I was like, oh my God, this is meant, you know, we see each other again. And so I tried everything to get his attention. And weird thing is, my mom said she felt led to let him come live with us. I know people, that might sound weird to people, but she said it was just on her, like, she got a vision one time and she seen my brother, like, as him. And kind of felt like, if I don't help him, this could be my son type of a thing. So she took him in. And me being young, I took that as, oh, okay, well, this helps me.
Oh, that was a convenient situation.
So we did start to kind of talk and stuff. It kind of started first, and I should have realized, like, this is not a good relationship. It was a lot of verbal hurt. So I think that me being young, that age too, I didn't understand it. This was kind of my first real relationship. But there was a lot of verbal, to bring down my self-esteem, my confidence. And I didn't even realize it was happening until it was like too late. And I felt like, this is who I have to be with. This is the only person that will like me. This is the only person that will love me. So I accepted everything.
So how did the cheating come into play?
I wound up pregnant at 18, and then it just started. It was like, I guess he felt like she took the bait, she's trapped, and it was not even hiding. It was not even hiding. It was full blown in my face. But I felt like, growing up, my mom was a single mom, so I never seen that two parent household. And I felt like, well, I want to give that to my kid. I wanted that so bad. So I felt like, you know, well, you got to stick in there. You got to do this, you know? And I just still worshiped him for some reason. I literally worshiped this person. Mm-hmm. And I would like pray to God, like, God, you know, make him the perfect person, you know, make him love me, make him, you know, stop, make me be happy, you know, make him make me happy. And I just allowed the hurt to continue, to continue, to continue. I mean, even up to giving birth to my daughter, he literally came and then left and went and cheated on me.
Oh my God, girl, I could not even imagine that. Like, after giving birth? Oh, that's so insane.
I found that out later on through a person we were living with, which was one of his friends. And she kind of told me, like, he got arrested in her house, so she was kind of mad. And she just kind of was like, you need to leave him. Like, seriously, you need to leave him. That night that you had the baby, I picked him up and took him to a girl's house. And I'm just sitting there with this new baby. She's like 4 months, I think, at this time. And I'm just alone. My relationship with my mom had kind of got broken because of him. And so I'm living in one of his friend's house. He's in jail. I'm finding out, I mean, I already knew he was cheating, but like, to hear it, someone else say it, you know, was like, okay, I knew this, but now other people know this. It was embarrassing. It just felt like now I don't even know the words still to this day of all the feelings that I felt.
No, that totally makes sense. Like, you understand what's in your relationship, but that doesn't mean you want freaking everyone else to know. So I'm curious, like, how did you cope with all of this? Like, you had a new baby, you just found this out for sure from a friend. Like, what did you do with that?
I started to do petty stuff. I literally started to do petty stuff because he started to kind of, even though I didn't want to leave him, he started to get gross to me because I felt like, I don't know who you're kissing. I don't know what you've done. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to kiss him anymore. I didn't want to do things with him. But for some reason, I didn't want to leave either, you know? So I would do things like, I knew he would be getting dressed or whatever. And I mean, I don't say do these things, but these are things I did. And I would like take toothbrushes and put them places that they probably shouldn't be. And I'm like, okay, good, because she's kissing you in the toilet. Like, you know, just things. And those kind of helped me, you know?
Let me just do like a quick disclaimer. Like, we're not saying if your man cheats to like put toothbrushes where they don't belong, but I'm just saying stuff happens when you do naughty things. Okay? All right.
One time I remember, like, he was searching everywhere for his phone and I just was so sick of it. And so I'm changing my daughter's diaper and I took his phone and put it, like, turned the phone completely off, and I just wrapped it in her diaper, and he's just searching all over, and I'm just like trying not to laugh. So I'm like looking down at her like, oh, you're so cute, you know? And he's like searching his phone and like, no, why aren't you helping me? And I need my phone. And I just was over it, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was like, we never got closure because when my daughter turned two, he wound up getting put into jail for life.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and so it kind of felt like, now that I look back at it, where I feel like God was abandoning me, he was actually helping me and rescuing me. Like, you know what, if you're not gonna be strong enough to move yourself out of this situation, I'm gonna help you. Mm-hmm. And so for years I just dealt with that because I felt like I never got to get closure.
What do you think was like the hardest part? I mean, I would think there would be some relief that he went away, you know, for life, but, you know, not getting that closure, what did that do to you?
I had to realize, like, pain hurt more because I felt like it was pointless pain. Mm-hmm. Like, I did nothing to receive this hurt. I was the most faithful girlfriend I could be, you know? Like, I was young, so but I felt like I did everything. I cooked dinner, I motivated him, I tried to encourage him, you know? I was a great mom and just doing these things, and it was just like, you're just hurting to hurt. Like, you don't even have a reason to hurt. You're just hurting to hurt, and that hurt the most. So yeah, like, during that time, it just was like, I put up this wall, and I just was like, no one will ever hurt me like this again. I had this shield at this point now in my life. I had two kids because another coping thing that I had was I knew another high school friend that was like really, really, I don't want to say obsessed with me, but like he would do anything for me, but he was a friend. Like I did not like him that way, but I knew he liked me that way. And so I would utilize him as comfort.
And how did he feel about that?
He knew of my relationships and he kind of made me feel like a person, like, you know, made me feel seen. Yeah. And so I used him a lot. And in using him, I wound up pregnant.
Do you think like getting pregnant again, did that change the way you felt towards your ex, or did it make it easier? Did it make it harder?
That was also another thing that helped me get over this person, because for some reason it was like on me to think like, you have a daughter with this person and he hasn't respected you. Now you're having another daughter that's not even his. Do you want these kids around this? Do you want, you know, like, I wasn't even thinking of it for myself at that point. I had to learn that later, but my kids helped me get out of that situation a lot.
I know you mentioned about God preparing you for this future relationship. So how did all of these circumstances come into play with your now husband?
When I met my now husband, I had two kids. I mean, the biggest, strongest brick wall up there is in life. And I just was like, no, no one will ever get through this. And here he came. I mean, super young. He was 19 at the time. I was like 21, I think. And I'm like, what can you offer me? And he was so persistent. And it was like nothing I can do to get this person to leave, you know? And even at that point, I still was kind of hung up on my first daughter's dad, you know, and he was locked up, and I still was just like, no, you know, this, I have to make this work. And I don't know why I felt that, you know, and still to this day, I don't know. I know it had more to do with me than it had to do with him. And I had to learn how to love myself.
Absolutely. Self-love, self-care is so crucial. And, you know, you mentioned putting up this wall and having feelings for your first daughter's dad. How did that affect this man who was so into you and wanting to be with you?
I hurt him a lot because I kind of got this mindset that I will hurt before I'm hurt. So if anyone wants to come, I already know, you know, how people say, like, don't put all guys in that category, or, you know, don't do... I felt like, no, all guys are in this category, and I'm going to hurt them before they hurt me. I'm going to use them before they use me. I'm going to, you know, do these things so then I'm strong. I'm the one that gets to walk away with no scars. And that's just not like how life works. Like, yeah. Life is just, that's just not what it is. And I had to realize that I needed to transform so I didn't transfer.
Oh, I like that. Tell me more.
I wanted to transform myself because I had daughters and I didn't want to transfer that bitterness and hardness onto them. I didn't want them to feel like they too would be unlovable.
That is so beautiful.
That's what I've done. I've gone from being that hard shell woman to a stay-at-home mom, which I know would be weird to some people. I had to learn to submit to someone who is giving me everything, who is there, who hasn't done anything. He didn't do any of those. He didn't do that pain, you know? He didn't cause that. And he shouldn't be the one who's now having to take the pain of it, because it's not his fault, you know? And so I had to learn to not do that because I didn't want my kids to be that
concept of like transform so you don't transfer. Is that something that you would recommend for other moms in similar situations?
And that can be for anyone. That can be like, let's, even if you don't have kids, you have friends, you know, girlfriends, things like that. You don't want them to start you to start, you know, that bitterness you have, or that anger you have from infidelity. Now they're like, I will never get married, or I will never do this because of so and so, you know. Now you have put that out there on them. And so I want to be the person that gives hope and to show that there's light, you know, at the end, whether, you know, whatever the circumstances come from it. I feel that things happen in our lives because they need to be teachable moments. That's why I love what you're doing here, you know, because I feel like the same how I'm doing with the mom thing, people filter relationships all mm-hmm. the time, you know, they filter it. And I think it's unhealthy, because then what happens is then people get into marriages and they get into these things, and then they feel like, well, I see this person and they never do this, or they do, they just don't show it, you know? Right. And so it's like, I think people need to see that more. We need to learn how to kind of remove that filter, you know, and know that it's not always that fairy tale that is true love. True love hurts sometimes. True love.
Right.
True love. The true love story has a little pain in it. And you just have to know and be strong enough to know that if it's meant for someone to be in your life, they'll be in your life. Like mm-hmm. there's nothing you can do to stop it. If it's meant for someone not to be in your life, there's nothing you can do to make that person be meant to be in your life and stay in your life. And in this case, I had to learn that there was nothing I could do to make this person be in my life. There was nothing that I could possibly do that could have this person love me mm-hmm. or be the person that was right for me. If that's not what it's supposed to have for life, it's just not going to happen.
Absolutely. And it's just getting into this place where you're okay with how life is and what is there and what's not and what stays and what goes. So what are you still working on? What's left to do?
Now what I'm dealing with, or what I'm growing from, is learning how to forgive when you don't get a sorry. Mm-hmm. Because in this case, I can't get a sorry from this person. I never got closure. But now I need to learn how to forgive him. And it's not for him, it's for myself. Because when you do forgive, that's a gift to yourself. Mm-hmm. You're not walking around in those chains. You're not bounded by that pain anymore, you know? It's like you are actually freeing yourself. Years will go on, and now there'll be triggers that come up, or someone will say something, and now you're hurting someone else. And I just don't want to live like that, you know? I don't want to hold grudges to the point of now I'm walking around with all these heavy bags.
Sometimes, you know, it's hard to forgive. It's hard to let go of that anger and that hate, because that person hurt you so badly. And for you to say, use that analogy of like, you don't want to carry around these bags anymore. That's so real, because a lot of times we carry around this baggage and we carry it into our relationships. We carry it with our kids, and people get affected because we're not able to let that hurt and that hatred go. And I think that's just such a good point that you bring up that a lot of people can learn from.
And I love that you said that, like, don't hold on to unforgiveness so long that it starts to turn into hate. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did, you know, like every time that he would do that stuff, and I knew he was doing that stuff, and you know, I wouldn't forgive him or whatever, I just wouldn't leave. But I started to at one point hate this person, you know, and I think that's why I did the little petty stuff that I did, because there was no love there anymore. It was just like, I'm miserable, you're gonna be miserable, now we're just miserable, we're gonna right? just hurt each other, we're gonna just, you know. And it was just like, what, you know, now that I look back, it's like, why didn't you just leave, you know? But I think it got to that point of just hate. And I think it also got to that point of, I wanted that fairy tale so bad, yeah. You know, I wanted that fairy tale so bad. Like, you know, I love my second daughter, of course, to death, but I, when I had her, thinking like, how can I have another baby with someone else? That's not the plan. That's not what my life plan was. I'm supposed to have all my kids with him. I'm supposed to, you know, in my head, that's what I thought, because these are the thoughts that you get. And then when I met my husband, it was like, no, I can't be with this person. And then, you know, he doesn't have any kids and he's going to want kids. And then now I have kids by three different people. Like, that is embarrassing. What kind of a story is that? And it's like, it's your story. That's the kind of story it is. And you cannot be ashamed of your story. Your story is going to work out the way it needs to be planned. And you have to be proud of it, because it's yours. And it may not be the ideal way or the way that someone did it, but it's your way. And mm-hmm. it's the way you're doing life. And that life was supposed to be meant for you to do. And you have to be proud. Like, you just really have to be proud of that.
For sure. And it's crazy how hard it is for us to really be proud of our story, especially when it's not in line with what other people think is a successful or good relationship or marriage. And oftentimes it isn't. You're with one person forever. Sometimes you will break up. Sometimes you will have kids with multiple people. And that's okay, because it's just a different version of a successful relationship. And as far as like forgiveness goes, was there any trick that you used to help yourself forgive this person, even though you didn't get that closure you wanted?
I had to realize that forgiveness is both a decision and a process. Mm-hmm. So first I had to decide to forgive this person. Like I had to say, no one could do it for me. He couldn't do it. I had to be like, you know what? I forgive you. And I realized when I did make that decision, I actually started to feel sorry for this person. Like, wow. You know, I started to open my eyes to things like, well, he didn't really have a mom, and he didn't, you know, his dad wasn't there. And he, you know, it probably was hard for him to learn to hurt, to love someone, because everyone hurt him that was supposed to love him. Mm-hmm. And I never had looked at it in that way. But when I made that decision up, and people, you know, probably thought I was crazy, like, wow, how do you have sympathy for them now? Like, you know, like, are you serious? Years and years of just pain, and now you're sitting here talking about you feel sorry for them, you know? But it was like, I started to feel that. When you do make that decision and you start to do that, the process has to start. And the process is an ongoing thing. The pain isn't there forever, but you have that scar. And so anytime you look down at that scar, you remember what that pain felt like. It doesn't hurt anymore painfully, but that scar is still there. So I feel like that's why the process is there.
That's a great analogy. Like thinking of, you know, this wound from your relationship, this constant pain or hurt that has happened because of something someone else has done, it's not something that you can just ignore and forget about. It has to be a healing process. You have to tend to it. You have to pay attention. You have to care for it. Otherwise, that shit's going to get infected. It's going to start to smell, and it's going to affect everyone around you. So you got to take care of these injuries that we sustain from these relationships in order for us to grow and be better people, and then use those scars as reminders instead of a constant pain.
Exactly. And I think a lot of people, because I'm a visual person, so I like to see things, is like they like to think of it as like a splinter. So like a splinter, it's like annoying and it hurts so bad when it's in there. But as soon as you remove that splinter, it's like it never happened. It's like,
yeah,
you don't see a mark. You feel 100% better. You're relieved. You're happy. But that's not how physical, like really, really trauma pain works. It's not a splinter. It's a wound. It's going to hurt. It's going to need to be dealt with. It's going to need to be addressed.
You have so much wisdom and insight from this experience. Is there anything else that you feel like people will find of value from your journey and your personal process?
Came up with a thing that kind of just said, like, I don't want to put a period where God puts a comma in my life. Mm-hmm. You know, so I could have put a period there and been like, I've been hurt. Period.
Right.
You know, and then now I just live with that forever, you know, but it's like, I've been hurt, but I can still be loved. I can still be, you know, and so I had to keep it going. You know, I've been cheated on, but I can find faithful, you know, ness in a new relationship. Not putting that period on things that actually need a comma in life. Yeah.
Girl, you just got all the tips today. That was another good one. You know, not putting that period where God wants to put a comma, and just changing up the story so it doesn't have to be this terrible end. It's just a portion of what is going to happen. That's amazing. And I know so many people are going to get stuff from that. So if you guys are listening, I hope you rewind it back and listen again for all these beautiful nuggets and tips that she's sharing today. Gosh, you've been so great, Ashley. I really have enjoyed this time with you.
I'm glad like you did this. And that's why I was like, okay, I got to reach out, you know, because I feel like it happened for a reason. Mm-hmm. And I need to make sure that what happened to me is not useless, because then I won't see any value in it. I need to make it useful, mm-hmm. you know, and I need to now let people know that there is a happy at the end of sad, you know, there yeah. that it will pass. It hurts now, but it won't be like that forever. You know, it will not be like that forever. If someone would have told me in that hurt that in a couple of years, someone's going to come into your life, they're going to love your two children like they're theirs. He's going to marry you. You know, you'll go on to now have four other children with him. He'll provide for you. He'll give you the opportunity to be with your kids full time. He'll work. I would have been like, you're lying. Like, don't tell me these things. Don't give me this false hope, because I didn't feel like I was worthy of it for some reason. And I think that that's where, you know, you don't want to put that period there, because when you put that period there, then you start to feel like, this is just it. This is all I deserve. This is yeah. all that I'll get. But if you put that comma there, it's easier to see that this is where we're at now. But I know the story doesn't end here. There's still more to write. You know, this is not a period. This is a comma.
I totally agree. I think that's something that a lot of us lose sight of when we're in these difficult situations. We think that this is forever. Like, this is just how things are going to be, that we can't get out, that we don't deserve better. But that's not it. That's not the period. Your life isn't over. It's just where you're at right now. And I think you mentioning that and normalizing that and making it like you are still worthy of love. If you've had failed relationships, you're still worthy of love. If you have fallen in love with multiple people, you're still worthy of love. And nothing that you can do, nothing that has happened to you will ever change that. And for you to just bring that up, Ashley, girl, that's such a good point. And I think that's something that a lot of women need to hear, a lot of men need to hear, a lot of people need to hear. So I hope you guys are listening.
Yes, yes, I hope. And like, how many people are out there putting periods where they need to put commas? You know, that's the main thing. It's like, why are we so like ashamed or like, ooh, stay away from that? For real life stories, mm-hmm. when everyone has them, yeah. everyone has it, you know, everyone has it. Everyone has a real life moment in mm-hmm. some point in life. No one's perfect, mm-hmm. you know, no relationship's perfect. No household is perfect. My hope is that the internet will start to get to is yeah. more unfiltered truth, you know? And so again, that's why like, this is so great what you're doing when it comes to relationships, because you know, you see that hashtag relationship goals everywhere, and then it's like, and then they're so shocked when the person that they put on this pedestal has an issue. But it's like, you have the same issues. Why are mm-hmm. you so shocked? They're human just like you. Like,
right?
Why? And so it's like, why are you so shocked? Like, they're in a relationship just like you're in a relationship. But because we only hashtag relationship goals and we glorify the good and not all the in between, then people would think like, well, no, you can't go through that. That couldn't have happened to you, you know? And it's like, it can happen to anyone.
Right?
Anyone can go through it.
I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your story and your insight. They're so helpful, I think, for everyday people. Like you said, we need to normalize real relationships. And real relationships aren't happily ever after. Real relationships aren't everything works out, it's one person for the rest of your life. Sometimes there's multiple versions of happily ever after. And you sharing your story, showing people you can have a different type of happily ever after and still have it be a happily ever after.
Exactly. Yes.
So thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Whenever you have your podcast, definitely, I definitely want to check it out. We're definitely going to have to share. Where can people find you right now if they want to follow you on Instagram or Facebook or wherever?
So on Instagram, I can be found on two locations. So I can be found on Ashley_ my_point_review. That's Ashley's point of view. And then I can also be found on Conquering Motherhood. And then if anyone kind of is a little interested, we still do have our YouTube videos up. That's DNA Vlogs on YouTube. So you guys can check it out.
So if you guys are interested in following Ashley's journey, I do have the links in the bio. Definitely click on those, check it out, follow her, show her some love because she is trying to change the world and I am all about that. So again, Ashley, thank you for sharing all of those powerful, powerful insights and just your story in general. It's been such a pleasure talking with you today. I'm so happy we had this time.
Yes, same here. Thank you.
All right, you guys, be sure to tune in for our next episode. It's going to be another good, heartwarming, life-changing, hopefully super insightful, motivational story for you. And until next time, I will talk to you later. Bye.